Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in today. This is Dr. Youngblood. You're tuned in to another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. And let me remind you that as we face the issues, we do so with you, our audience, in mind. We look forward to having you join in the dialogue and discussion each day. You can do that by dialing 401-1413, 904-401-1413. Get your telephone call straight through to the studios and right to the microphone so we can have dialogue and discussion about the issues at hand. And may I remind us once again, as we face the issues, the best authority is none other than the Word of God. Multitudes of people today are looking for answers. I watched one of the famous nationwide broadcasters from the pulpit, his pulpit, last evening for a few minutes. And while he smiles, he's giving a lot of psychology, how you can feel good about yourself and how you can literally have a good day and a good time, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's contrary and antithetical to the Scripture. But as we look at issues, we need to look at the Word of God and see what the Scripture says. Keep in mind, the Scripture is not just a source book for truth. It is the book of truth. Jesus said to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You're my disciples indeed. The word indeed means truly, surely, absolutely. So the affirmation of a disciple of Christ is whether or not we continue, that is, constantly dwell on the word of God. And Jesus said, if you constantly dwell on my word, you're truly a disciple of mine. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's what he told his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32. And then in John 17, 17, Jesus said, thy word is truth. So, ladies and gentlemen, when we look at issues, we do so based on the theological, doctrinal, biblical truth as found in the Word of God. We're going to be talking about something a little unusual today. I have an elongated monologue to get to my point. We're going to ultimately look at some of the amendments that are proposed for the November 6th ballot. It's on the November 6th ballot that we'll vote on in November. Most will walk into the voting booth unawares of these 13 amendments. Most people think that when we go to vote, we're voting for people to go into office, and that is true. But year after year, election cycle after election cycle, we're finding more and more of the initiatives on the ballot that we're to vote for as citizens, and most will read it. Most of the ballot initiatives, the amendments that they're proposing for the Constitution, most of those are worded so that you think you're voting yes and really you're voting no, or you think you're voting against it and you're really voting for it. And it is worded that way for the primary purpose of getting you and getting me to vote on these issues. But as we think about getting to that subject today, I want us to introduce it by thinking on the subject, are we living in the days of Noah? Are we living in the days of Noah? The Bible says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Found in Matthew 24, verse 37. God says we can know the signs of the coming of Christ. We can know the signs, if you want to put it, that will point to the last of the last days. And the pointing to the signs that's pointing to that we find in the Scripture, and it's pointing to the coming of Jesus Christ. And we see today we can know the signs of the second coming by the culture and the climate of life and the morals and ethics in the society in which we're living. How was it in the days of Noah? What was happening? What are the indications there? Well, Matthew 24, verse 38 then further says, "For as in the days of Noah before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark." And then in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5 and verse 11, "And God saw the wickedness of man." This is identifying now how it was in the days of Noah. "And God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of the heart was only evil continually." And then verse 11 says, "The earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence." And so, ladies and gentlemen, if the days of Noah, according to the Word of God, is the picture, is the illustration, is the image that we're to understand, for understanding the last of the last days before Christ returns, we need to recognize that that is what we're seeing today. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that this is the very picture of the condition of the world in which we're living in today, where there's the every imagination and thought of the heart of man is on wickedness and evil continually, and the earth is filled with violence. And the scripture said in the Matthew text, eating and drinking, giving in marriage. In other words, nonchalantly going on with life as you think you're going to live for 1,000 years, going on with life each day in America and around the globe as though there's never going to be a reckoning day, never going to be a judgment day for sin and for what's been done in the world in which we're living in that's against the Word of God. We find there's a move today in America and around the globe, but we're seeing it more and more in America today, to simply defy God and to somehow, some way, defeat God. We have so watered down the ethical, moral absolutes that there's no standard. We have entire movements today to introduce laws and ordinances and regulations and even to change the constitution by amendments that will ultimately hurt, harm, undermine, and destroy the family and the future of our nation. Did you know that on November the 6th, the ballot will have to vote on 13 amendments for the Florida State Constitution? I find it egregious, but that is a fact. In fact, let me just read you a little history about the Constitution for the state of Florida. The title of this article says, "Things We Bet You Never Knew About Your Constitution." This one, for example, says, "The Florida Constitution, by the way, checks in at about 39,000 words. It has been amended 102 times since 1968, when the new Constitution was adopted. The typical life of a state constitution is about 70 years, during which time it's amended an average of 115 times. Florida's had six constitutions, three of them clustered around the Civil War and the Reconstruction, which in turn led to the 1885 Constitution. And the 1885 Constitution lasted, ladies and gentlemen, until 1968. Since 1968, there have been 136 amendments proposed to the Florida Constitution, for the Florida Constitution. Of those, 102 have been passed. Voters rejected 31. Three were removed by the Florida Supreme Court because of ineffectiveness and inadequacies in the ballot language. And there are five ways to modify the Constitution, ladies and gentlemen. One is by the Constitutional Convention. One is by the legislature that can send amendments to the voters, which takes three-fifths of the chamber to do that. The third is by a citizens' initiative, the Constitution Revision Commission, which appointed by the state leaders, and then the Tax and Budget Reform Commission, which can change only things that limit them to financial physical matters and responsibilities in the finances. Now, I believe you probably didn't know that. One of the things that we're doing today, ladies and gentlemen, is we're watering down our Constitution to the point that it's becoming ineffective. If we want to make changes in the laws of the state of Florida, I believe that we are a constitutional republic. I don't think it changed overnight. And as such, the legislature, the House and the Senate, is the place that laws are to be made. I don't think that it's appropriate for it to take our state constitution and every new law that we want, we scramble up enough signatures to have a voter's initiative, put it on the ballot, And most people walk into the voting booth without having read the entire understanding or researched who's the promulgator of that amendment, constitutional amendment push. And as a result of that, we're finding more and more people walk into the voting booth and simply say yes. Did you realize, ladies and gentlemen, that in 2012, there was a constitutional amendment that outlawed pig farmers that would place pregnant pigs in a cage? So therefore, we have very few, if any, pig farmers in the state of Florida today, because the animal rights activists had that put on the ballot. It sounded so benign when it was voted on that we're going to protect pregnant pigs. But what that ballot initiative did not tell us was that we're going to eliminate pig farming in the state of Florida. As a result of that, how are you going to transport a pig unless you put him in a cage, pregnant or not? And yet that eliminated pig farming. And this might sound ludicrous. It might sound a little unreal, but it's a fact. And then in 2016, did you realize by a voters' initiative, the voters in the state of Florida voted 71% to put pot as an amendment on the Constitution that makes it a constitutional right for so-called medical marijuana? Well, as a result of that constitutional amendment taking effect, we're finding now suit after suit after suit in the state of Florida with major pushing of our legislators to amend that and to allow pot now for medical use, of course, to be puffed, that is to be inhaled, rather than just being ingested in pill form or in syrup form. It is now a push to do that. And ladies and gentlemen, I've talked with enough legislators, I can tell you, in the 2019 legislative session, there'll be more than one bill that will be introduced that will allow medical marijuana to be puffed rather than just ingested. There will also be a push to amend the constitutional amendment to make medical marijuana go into recreational marijuana so that everybody can be high on marijuana. Ladies and gentlemen, we have today a major problem in America, and that is that we find deaths now from drug overdoses. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, 176 per day. 176 per day. And it's as a result of legalizing marijuana. And then after it's legalized on the medical basis, then it's legalized on the recreational basis. In the state of Colorado alone, ladies and gentlemen, all crimes have gone up exponentially. Drug overdose by preteens and teenagers have gone up just absolutely astronomically, almost beyond belief. Because moms and dads will be puffing on marijuana. They'll be ingesting chocolate chip cookies laced with marijuana, gummy bears laced with marijuana, and I could go on and on and on. And the kids will get that and ingest it, not realizing it's damn it going to be an opportunity to get them hooked on marijuana and or take their lives. It is absolutely a fiasco that when we open Pandora's box with everyone doing that which is right in his own sight. And I believe we're living in the last days, the days that the Bible speaks of, living in the days of Noah, where everyone is doing that which is right in his own sight. For as in the days of Noah before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage as the days of Noah entered into the ark. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we're living in that very day, where there is a watering down of the morals and the ethics and the values. And people would say, well, it's done legally. It's a constitutional amendment. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's legal today to have a sodomite marriage. It's legal today to murder a human being in the womb of the mother. That doesn't make it moral, ethical, or biblical. But yet we find so many Christians today that are simply defaulting to the fact that something is legal. Just because it's legal, it doesn't make it right. A licentious lifestyle may be legal, but it doesn't make it right biblically. Ladies and gentlemen, we're faced with that issue today. We're under the guise of medical marijuana. There is the fact that we have marijuana. In fact, in Jacksonville, there's a pot shop on just about every street. I think there's 12 or 14, the last research that I did on that. And we're finding more and more people today hallucinating on that. And marijuana, ladies and gentlemen, regardless of what you've been told, is the gateway to every other hard drug. For fentanyl and for any other hard drug that is on the marketplace, the opioids, as it's called today, which is at an epidemic stage, is as a result of marijuana being introduced on a legalized basis across America. May I just suggest, ladies and gentlemen, that we do one thing? rather than continue to place things on the ballot, let the legislature, we the people, should have a say-so on what our legislators do. Let our legislative body be the ones that make the determination on laws that would benefit the populace, putting those on the ballot then for people to vote on, for them to pass in the House and the Senate, where we can have influence on them. Let's stop diminishing the general boundaries of our society. Let's stop diminishing what is lawful and right based on the Word of God. Let's stop destroying the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, the Pope says that society needs to understand that the Bible is out of date and needs to be rewritten. I think there's a epidemic today in America with the mindset that somehow, some way, we need to eliminate the Word of God. In fact, in California, House Bill 2943, Assembly's Bill, it's not called House, it's an Assembly's Bill, 2943 is going to ban the Bible. Pro-family activists, this article says, pro-family activists in California are asking citizens to urge Democratic Governor Jerry Brown, well, that's a joke, asking him to veto the bill. Some say that it will take effect, when it takes effect, it will ban the sale of Bibles. And the bill is classified as a consumer fraud bill, and any financial transaction, such as selling a book or charging for a seminar, if it relates to counseling people to overcome sexual, same-sex attractions, then it will be illegal. This bill has been disputed hotly for months, and the last month was delayed until it voluntarily delayed by the Senate until voluntarily it was now placed back on the Senate agenda, and they just voted 25-11 to adopt it, and they're going to be sending it back to the Assembly, where the Senate changes must be approved. Ladies and gentlemen, that bill, when it is passed, and it shall be passed, this law will ban any book, including the Bible, that is negative toward a sodomite lifestyle. And yet, multitudes will say, well, it was passed by the House and the Senate. It's legal. And just as we're now trying to force 13 different amendments on the citizens for the state of Florida in a backdoor approach, the Pope also said, you know, not only the Bible needs to be rewritten because it is not in step with society, he also says that hell does not exist. And yet thousands of pedophilia priests continue to molest and destroy the nation's children, not only in America but around the globe. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a major, major problem with what's taking place in relationship to these ballot initiatives being placed on for the Constitution to be changed. So let's do some quick review of some of the 13 amendments that we're to vote on. Ladies and gentlemen, you can join in this dialogue and discussion by calling 401-1413, 904-401-1413, get you straight through to the microphone so we can have the dialogue and discussion on it. I'm going to take just a few minutes for the balance of this broadcast for us just to analyze. There's 13 amendments that's proposed for the Constitution for the state of Florida. And I'm just going to focus on very briefly Amendment 3, 4, 6, and 9. Those are the most egregious, all of them. In fact, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to know my opinion, I say stop tinkering with the Constitution. So I walk in the voting booth to vote. When it comes to something like this, I just say no, 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 no. And this time I'll say no 13 times. No, 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 no. I believe we need to stop tinkering with it. In fact, the state of Florida's Constitution is about 2.5 times as thick as the U.S. Constitution. It is far more verbiage and wording and far broader and deeper than the U.S. Constitution. And it's getting larger each election cycle. And we just finished with the Constitutional Revision Commission that meets every 20 years. And they've just, and that 1978 was the last revision time on it. And here's a little article about that. Let's see if I can find the wording of that in relationship to the some of the changes that's just been made or shall be made. The article says, people also ask, how many amendments does the Florida Constitution have? The Florida legislature leads the way in the state's amendment sweepstakes, having proposed 89 amendments since 1968. 71 have been adopted, 16 rejected, 2 tossed out by the courts. 26 amendments have reached the ballot by initiative, and 21 have been adopted since December of 2005. Ladies and gentlemen, we keep changing the Constitution, and it takes a constitutional attorney just to determine what you can do legally or illegally. But let's look at some of these amendments. Amendment number 3, for example, is probably the most egregious. The title of it is the voter control of gambling in Florida. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, the bureaucrats and the embeds and the power brokers in the state of Florida have been trying to open the doors, Pandora's box in the state of Florida to make gambling legal all over the state. Let me just read you this third amendment that we will vote on in November. Voter control of gambling in Florida. A citizens' initiative amendment would give voters the exclusive right to decide the authority authorized expansions of casino gambling in Florida. That authority currently rests with both the legislature and voters through constitutional amendments. Card gambling, casino games, slot machines, limited now to tribal facilities in most of Florida, though some slot machines are allowed at certain pari-mutuel facilities in Broward and Miami and Dade counties only. Though the legislature has tried in recent years to pass gambling bills that would address the state's agreement with the Seminole tribe and allow some expansion of the casino negotiations have repeatedly broken down at the House, which is more opposed to gambling and rejected by the Senate's proposals. Simply put, ladies and gentlemen, Amendment 13 is trying to circumvent what has been denied over and over and over again through the legislative process in Tallahassee, because we the people tell our elected leaders we do not want open-door gangbuster gambling in the state of Florida. Right now, there's a treaty with the Seminole tribe in Miami-Dade County that they're the only ones that can have this casino gambling. And the gambling advocates want that to be in the hands of the gambling advocates as they can make mega millions off of it across the state of Florida. Literally what this does, ladies and gentlemen, it will absolutely open Pandora's box for casino gambling and every other type of gambling in the state of Florida. It is the way to say, well, we the people have a right to change that, so we're going to change it. And I'm fearful, ladies and gentlemen, if this is voted on in November, if the citizens vote yes, and it's worded so it will look like it's going to give the power to the people, then the next thing you know, the legislature is going to say, well, the abundance of the people in the state of Florida wanted casino gambling, and so gambling is going to be wide open. Can you imagine a gambling shop on every corner and a pot shop on every corner, what it's going to do to society, what it's going to do to our sons and daughters and our grandkids, and destroying the morals and the ethics and the values? People will lose their homes. They're losing their homes now in every state where marijuana is sold, every state where it's legalized, whether it's for recreational use, as it's called, or for medical use. People are losing their homes because of buying marijuana and cannot afford to pay their rent or the house payments. It's destroying the morals and ethics and the values and the economic foundation of our state, and it's happening across the state and across the nation. Ladies and gentlemen, Amendment number 4. Voting Restoration Amendment. Another petition drive amendment would restore voting rights to former felons if they have served their time, with the exception of those who have committed crimes like murder or sex offenses. Ladies and gentlemen, it would sound like that they have no recourse, that the felons, when they get out of prison, will never in their lifetime ever be able to vote again. It seems as though, by the wording of this, that they have no recourse. But ladies and gentlemen, there's a process in place now, and the process that's in place where the felon has to wait 5 years after his sentence is completed before he can regain his voting rights. And the ladies and gentlemen, I think that's only right. It should not be so at the time a felon walks out of prison doors that the next day he can walk into the voting booth and vote. There needs to be a process by which he gets reacclimated into society, and where the process shows that he's going to do that which is right and not going to go back into habitual felonious acts that will place him back in prison. Ladies and gentlemen, this is pushed by the left-wing liberals in society that's wanting more and more votes for the Democratic Party. That's who's pushing this. That's the process that they're wanting to see. And it is set up in such a way that it makes the average citizen feel, well, these poor little felons, when they get out, they need to be able to vote. I vote. They should be able to vote. How are they going to know what the process are? How are they going to know what the who the people are and what the issues really are if they've been incarcerated 10, 15, 20, 30 years and then they get out? Ladies and gentlemen, that is a fallacious argument. And I once again remind us, when we look at these amendments, you need to understand who is proposing it, why it's on the ballot, who got the petitions up that placed it there, and what's the major motivation behind it. And then amendment number six is also an egregious amendment. Amendment six is the rights of crime victims and judges. Ladies and gentlemen, out of 13 amendments that's on the ballot for November, the majority of them have 2, 3, and 4 issues rolled into one and combined as an amendment. And it's purposely done because when there's 2, 3, or 4 issues in one amendment, it's generally one or two things that they know they could not get passed otherwise, but a little sweetheart deal that's mixed in there to cause people to vote for it. This is one of them. It goes on to say the Sixth Amendment, the right of crime victims and judges. This says the bill would the rights for the crime victim and set new requirements for judges. And it goes on to talk about the latter proposal. The thing about judges is what they want to do. The Bill of Rights, modeled after Marsh's law in California, has the support of the majority of the Republicans and Democratic lawmakers, but has drawn criticism that the way victims' rights are drawn might flood the justice system and additional responsibilities. Well, there's a whole lot to that it might be beneficial. But, ladies and gentlemen, there's tacked on to that where it will increase where judges' retirement now must be 70 years old. They're going to increase that from 70 to 75. I say, and to be taken effect July the 1st, 2019, I say that we need to leave it alone. Let the judges retire at 70. We've got enough judges now that I believe they've lost their mind in some of the decisions they make from the bench, and yet when they rule, it's like God speaking. And we need to understand that there's a time that then a state requirement is for state leadership, for those that are embedded bureaucrats, those that are leading commissions, and those that are judges, are to retire at the age of 70. There's good rationale behind that, ladies and gentlemen. When we look at these other amendments, amendment number 9, we'll take a minute in our last few minutes to cover that. Amendment number 9 prohibits offshore oil and gas drilling, also prohibits vaping in enclosed workplaces. Ladies and gentlemen, I just made a little marginal note beside that amendment. I just said, wow, most everybody's going to say, well, we need to ban vaping where these potheads can't come into enclosed workplaces, offices and shops and buildings and so forth, and start puffing on their pipes. That sounds reasonable. But ladies and gentlemen, it's tacked to the also in that amendment where it will make it constitutionally illegal to do any offshore oil drilling and gases. Did you realize that just a few miles off the coast of Cuba, the Chinese government has bought the rights in the Cuban land to drill offshore for oil? And it will be some 50, 55 miles from our southern border, and yet somehow, some way, we're not supposed to be able to drill our own oil? It's had a moratorium on it now for several years because of the wackos that say that we ought not to be able to extract our own oil and gas offshore. But other states are doing that. We have mega trillions of barrels offshore if we would do the drilling. But this is designed, ladies and gentlemen, it is instituted by those that do not want offshore oil drilling and gas drilling. So they added to that the no vaping in this amendment so that it would get your vote or my vote by those that are thinking, well, I'm going to vote for this because we need that. Ladies and gentlemen, it is simply unconscionable the way these have been drafted. And by the way, out of the 13, nine of them have been introduced and placed on the ballot by the Constitutional Revision Commission. And when you look at them, you can understand how anytime something's put together by a committee, you've got major, major difficulties with it. And several of those are very, very, very dangerous. The last two of them, Amendment 12 and Amendment 13, for example, Amendment 13 ends dog racing. I'm for that amendment. Ends dog racing. And by the way, it was put on the as a ballot initiative by the animal rights activists that say that dog racing is harmful for the dogs. Well, I don't agree with that, but I do agree with the fact that we need to end dog racing. So I'm in favor of that. We need to end commercial dog racing and stop wagering. And I think it needs to be before 2020, but the amendment calls it to be totally cease and totally stop by 2020. Amendment 12 talks about lobbying and abuse of office by the public officers. And it simply says that after a person is elected, he gets out of office, he's got to wait 6 years before he can become a lobbyist. And I'm in favor of that. We have too many people that were politicians yesterday and lobbyists today, and they lobby their pals in Tallahassee or Washington and get things done behind closed doors that otherwise cannot be done. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that we, the people, have an awesome responsibility, not only for the 28th of this month, August the 28th, but also for the November ballot initiative. We need to study the ballot and understand what these amendments are and vote based on the way God would have us to vote as moral, ethical citizens. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in today. Looking forward to meeting you on there even tomorrow as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.